right, so my name is Maxwell Haddad, and you're listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I don't really know what today's episode is going to be about. Oh, I guess I do sort of know, because I watched a movie last night called Deadline. Kind of a weird 80s movie, early 80s. I remember it opens, and of course it's, the whitest guy they could find. Some blonde asshole. And then he turns out to be actually an asshole, the asshole dad, and he's, I guess, kind of the villain. I don't really remember the piece. I smoked a lot of weed, ate too many Pop-Tarts, and passed the fuck out. But it's morning time now, just past 8:30 a.m. And excuse me, it's Sunday, March 20th, 2022. My name is Maxwell. Oh, I already said that. So yeah, let me see if I can pull it up. And I'm also gonna be smoking some weed while I'm talking to you. So just give me one second here. I don't know what else I'll be talking about. Oh yeah, I did have something else to talk about. Something personal that I probably won't end up talking about it. That I probably won't end up talking about because it's depressing. Oh, good, it didn't cut me off. Okay. So this is Deadline from 1980. 1 hour, 30 minutes, Canada, directed by Mario Azzopardi. And this is the description from the Arrow streaming app. Quote, Stephen Lessie, Stephen Young, Soylent Green Patton makes his living as a horror writer who has learned that the bloodier the story, the bigger the market. But Stephen has also hit a personal crisis wherein he yearns for artistic recognition and an escape from the brutality he conjures up to earn a living. All the while, his horrifying and murderous fantasies begin to blend into his day-to-day life, numbing him. Oh, and this is a quote, by the way. Blend into his day-to-day life, numbing him to his crumbling marriage until a shocking tragedy occurs from which he has no escape. One of the true hidden gems of Canadian horror cinema, Mario Azzopardi's Deadline is an unflinchingly grim, twisted, and cynically comedic study of a man's slow descent into madness, punctuated by expertly rendered and creatively staged gory deaths. I don't remember any of the deaths. Featuring elegant and colorful cinematography by Fred Guth, The Pit. Tightly paced editing, and even a surprise musical sequence featuring acclaimed new wave band Rough Trade. Yeah, I saw them in the credits. I was like, what's up, Rough Trade? Like, what's up with that? I know that as a record store in New York. So, Deadline. Oh, yeah, so it opens on this blonde asshole, and I guess he's like sitting behind a typewriter. Kind of makes sense now. Kind of reminds me of the opening of Stand By Me. I don't know if that. I don't know if that's what happened in the opening. Anyway, so yeah, I guess he's a horror writer, and I thought they were like making a movie out of one of his screenplays. It's weird because it's like every time I watch something, all of a sudden it's like about making movies, or I read something like that book Stick by Elmore Leonard was about making movies. X by Ty West is about making movies. And now this movie is about making movies. Apparently he's a horror writer. I don't know. I thought it was about making movies, at least partly. I could be wrong. Anyway, I don't remember much about the movie, but that's Deadline. So I wanted to talk more about X, and I was going to talk about something personal, but I'm not going to, I don't think, because it's depressing. I'm trying to think what else I can add about X. I've been thinking about it over the past few days. I saw it on Friday. It's now Sunday, 8:35 a.m., March 20th, 2022. I'm Max Cherry, and I'll bear Jew you. This is the sauce. Thank you for listening. So, yeah, this is the sauce. What was I saying? Yeah, Oh yeah, so X. Yeah, so I've been thinking about it over the past 2 days. I think it's a masterpiece. Video Nasties supports X. I support independent horror cinema, especially movies like this. This is a special movie. Movies like this don't come along often. It's my favorite movie that I've seen in a while, period. Since Licorice Pizza, at least. Licorice Pizza is the greater film, but I actually love X more right now. And I really want to see it again, and I can't stop thinking about it. I'm obsessing about it. It really got into my head in a way that I didn't expect. And there is definite mood and atmosphere there. And Ty West is a real filmmaker and a real horror filmmaker. I'm still not going to say he's a master of horror, but he's close. And this movie is masterful and a masterpiece. Fuck. Maybe I should just talk about it because it's been on my mind. Ty West, in his younger days, attended School of the Visual Arts in New York City, Manhattan, where I was accepted and I almost went. And I should have gone. And my life would have gone a lot differently if I had gone. I didn't go for various reasons. I'm glad I didn't go. I ended up saving a lot of money. I owe enough money as it is. In fact, my student loans went into deferment because I wasn't paying them back. And now, look, could all of this been avoided if I had just gone to SVA, which is what I wanted to do? Maybe, perhaps. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't want to talk about it, but Ty West went there, which I think is interesting. And I was like, holy shit, like, because he, I saw on the SV, I guess there's an SVA theater. I would have known this if I had gone. Of course, I would have gone way back in 2008. 2008 to 2012. Those were my college years. And I would have gone way back then, and obviously it was a different school then. I would have graduated 10 years ago. Holy shit! I'm gonna actually tweet that as a joke. I'm gonna say celebrating my 10-year. Oh, maybe I'll say like going to my 10-year. Do they have that 10-year college reunions? The way they have high school reunions, they have college reunions. I'm gonna look that up. Anyway, I'm gonna make a joke about it on Twitter. So if you're interested, follow Video Na at Video Nasties One on Twitter. Really, I wanted to talk more about X, but I just like I keep thinking about the movie and I want to watch it again. I almost feel like I should watch it again before I discuss it more. It's like I want to say more about it. I want to talk about it more, but I don't really know what else I can say. I had a lot to say when it was fresh in my mind on Friday, and then I had more comments spilling over into Saturday, which you heard on last night's episode. And now it's Sunday. It's Time Crisis Day, a new Time Crisis today at 3 o'clock. And I'll be listening to that. And if things do occur to me to talk about in terms of X, then I will come back on here and talk about them. But for now, I'm going to set up this Twitter joke. Class reunion. Oh, I guess they do have college reunions. Maybe. No, but when would it be? Well, I would have graduated. Maybe I'll say can't wait. I don't know. I'll think about a joke for it. Oh, here it is. Often organized at or near their former high school or college by one or more classmates, class members. Okay, so they do have college reunions, and this would be my 10-year anniversary of my graduation from SVA. It would be this year. Would I have gone to the reunion? Maybe, I don't know. Will I ever go to a high school reunion? Definitely not. Would I have gone to high school reunions if I had gone to SVA? Maybe, I don't know. It's a separate timeline. It has split off from this timeline, but I have to accept that this timeline is the reality that I'm living in. In other words, I didn't go to SVA. I fucked up. I made the biggest mistake of my life. I have something to regret for the rest of my life. And that is true, and that's also not true, and I also can't look at it that way, and I also had my reasons. And it was also better that I didn't go. My life could actually be a lot worse right now. And it could possibly be worse if I had gone to SVA. So I have to look at the other side of it. I can't live in regret. And I also don't believe in the concept of regret. I mean, if I have any regrets, this is definitely one of them. Moving to Baltimore is another one. That was a mistake as well. That was a tactical error. I think in the case of SVA, I mean, I know in the case of SVA that that is my biggest regret, if I have any regrets, or it would be my biggest regret if I believed in the concept of regret. Maybe that's all I have to say right now. What else do I have to talk about? My stomach is growling. I should probably eat something. I had some tea. No coffee this morning, so I'm a little bit more chill. I think I drank a little too much coffee last night. I was up a little late. I like staying up later. It feels better. I don't like falling asleep early, even though sometimes I do it. Sometimes I pass out at 8 o'clock like an old person. But last night I was up past 10 o'clock. I know, big deal, past 10 o'clock. But it feels great to just go to bed late, sleep right through the night, wake up, start the day. That's the way I prefer to do it. I really don't like getting up in the middle of the night, even though it seems to happen to me fairly regularly, but that happens more when I fall asleep early. The problem is I get stoned, I put on a movie, and I just fall asleep. Especially if I eat something. So that's why starting movies later is a better strategy for me, and that's what I did last night, and that seemed to work. So go see X if you haven't seen it. Listen to Motomami by Rosalia if you haven't already. Also listen to Charli XCX's new album Crash. Listen to the new episode of the new Eli Roth podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life. The new episode is called The White Lady. And then also check out the new Time Crisis today at 3 o'clock p.m. 3 to 5, baby. Ezra Koenig. It's only 8:43 a.m. right now, so I got plenty of time. I might get some more sleep. I don't know. I mean, I went to bed a little later than usual, but I also did get up early. I mean, I was up. I think I was out of bed around 7. I think I was awake around 6:30 possibly. So I mean, I was up. So I might get some more sleep. I'm not sure. I'm gonna get some more writing done today. Things are going well there. I was also gonna talk about that. Oh my God. Oh, sorry. Just had a good stretch. I was also going to talk about that because I wanted to this project that I'm working on is picking up steam, and this is something that I really want to get off the ground in the near future. This is something that I'll have to make myself. I mean, I realize at this point and from this point on, it's really going to come down to me. I mean, I'm still young. I'm still in the world of independent filmmaking, and I really need to get this going and to make it myself. This is an ambitious project. I realize that it won't be easy to get it off the ground, but it's something that I'm really excited about, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you about more. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This is a script that I've been working on for a long time, but in its current iteration, it's not in a place where I'm able to talk about it yet. So I'll leave it at that. And I'll leave you with that. I'm gonna go smoke some more violet fog. I just picked up another. Holy shit, it's the first day of spring! Happy spring. Rabbit, rabbit. All that. Happy Easter. I forgot about it. And happy birthday to me and happy 420. God, I love spring. Go Aries. So, what was I saying? Completely forgot. Oh yeah. I completely forgot it was the first day of spring. I picked up an eighth of Violet Fog yesterday. And this is coming like 2 days after I had picked some up. I usually don't pick up that much weed, and I did have some left over. But I'm glad I did because I had some for last night, Saturday night, last day of winter. Woo! And it's a special weekend. It's a celebration weekend. First of all, it's 1 month. It's my last month of being 31. 1 month until my 32nd birthday. Not only that, it's the weekend that X came out or comes out this weekend. Go see it. It's still opening weekend. You can still support it on opening weekend. Support indie horror. What was I saying? Yeah, so this is X's opening weekend, and this is also the weekend of the release of, like I said, Motomami and Crash. New Eli Roth podcast, new Time Crisis. This is a fun weekend. This is a weekend of celebration for me. So that's why I bought more weed yesterday, earlier than I usually do. And I could go into more personal stuff, but I'm not gonna go there. So that's pretty much it for me for right now. I'm trying to think, what else? What else? What else? What else did I want to discuss? I wish I had more to say about X, but I just, first of all, I want people to see it. My last two episodes of this podcast have been about X, and they haven't gotten a lot of listens, but I have a theory about this, which is that people listen to Video Nasties more during the week. I think people listen to podcasts more during the week, just in general. I think it's like a morning commute kind of thing. Video Nasties is a nighttime podcast, but I think people do listen to it on their morning commute, and I hope they do. Video Nasties is designed to be listened to anytime, any place, by anyone. So, having said that, that was it. I also watched Eraserhead last night, about the first half hour. So the first half hour sets up the movie, and then the baby comes into it. So there really is a structure to Eraserhead. It doesn't seem like it, and it is, to me, first and foremost, and above all else, Eraserhead is a surrealist film. That's what it is. I've actually heard it described recently as a horror film, a horror movie, which it is partly. But it's a dream of dark and troubling things. That's how David Lynch described it. That's all he's ever given as far as like describing the movie and explaining what it is. That's all he'll say about it, which I respect. I think he said it's his most spiritual movie, actually, which also makes sense when you watch it. So, yeah, I see it above all else as a surrealist film, one of the great surrealist films of all time, in my opinion. I think Eraserhead is genius, it's a masterpiece, and it was revolutionary at the time, in my opinion. Not that I was alive in 1977, but I can only imagine. I mean, this was 17 years after Psycho, only 17 years after Psycho, and to me, Eraserhead is one of the most innovative movies to be released, especially in America, post Psycho. There really is no other movie like Eraserhead, and it's one of the original Midnight movies, actually. So the original Midnight movie is Night of the Living Dead. Give credit where it's due. George Romero, I mean, he created that shit. He literally created the Midnight movie, the way Steven Spielberg created the blockbuster with Jaws. Years before that, George A. Romero created the Midnight movie with Night of the Living Dead. Where it just like midnight screenings started happening. So literally was like it was the creation of the Midnight movie. And then I think actually the next one was I again give credit where it's due. I think the next one was John Waters' Pink Flamingos. And then after that, Eraserhead was number three, I think. So those were three of the most innovative American films ever made, in my opinion. Of the three, I would say Eraserhead is probably my favorite. It's certainly the best from a visual art standpoint, David Lynch is the only true visual artist of the three of them. I actually see John Waters more as a writer, and I see George A. Romero, he's more of like a conceptual guy, kind of. Like the whole concept of Night of Living Dead is genius, and that's really what's the most genius about it. It also has a real vibe and a real feel to it, and it's genuinely scary. It's a masterpiece. I mean, it's the greatest zombie film ever made, and it created the zombie mythos that we are all very familiar with now. Dawn of the Dead is still my personal favorite. The original Dawn of the Dead is that's just the greatest zombie movie ever made. But Night of the Living Dead is the original zombie movie. It's the true OG. So, but I don't necessarily see George. I mean, not even necessarily. I don't see George A. Romero as a visual artist on par with David Lynch. I actually see few filmmakers as a visual artist on par with David Lynch. I mean, even Tarantino, and I don't know why. I kind of bring Tarantino into it because I think that Pulp Fiction was the most innovative American movie since Blue Velvet, actually. So it was like I see them as kind of like related in a way. Like Blue Velvet was kind of the Pulp Fiction of the 80s. So. But even with Tarantino, like Tarantino's, if you really look at his movies, he's actually more of a writer. He's a visual artist, in my opinion. His movies are visually fascinating and beautiful, and I love the way they look. I love every shot of a Tarantino movie. I think his framing is immaculate and all that. But if you want to talk about true visual art, I think David Lynch is one of the only true visual artists working in the film medium today. I mean, he's not making movies anymore, but he's still alive. He's still an artist, and he'll always be a filmmaker. He proved himself in the world of filmmaking. You know, he started out as a painter, so he was like an actual artist, like an artist artist, which I don't even consider myself to be. You know, I'm a filmmaker. I'm more in line with Tarantino. I'm not gonna say that I'm more of a writer. Other people can say that. I don't think that Tarantino would say that he's more of a writer, although maybe now he would, because he's gotten more into the characters. I don't know about the screenplays. He was always into the screenplays. He's gotten more into staging and theatricality, and that's kind of separate. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent here. So, I don't even know how I got on that Midnight Movie. Oh, yeah, I watched Eraserhead. That's how I got on it. So, David Lynch is a true visual artist, and Eraserhead is truly a piece of visual art. It is a work of visual art. He painted the sets himself. I don't know how much he actually constructed, but if you look at the movie, I mean the effects are incredible. And it is truly a beautiful work of visual art, a beautiful piece of visual art, just that movie as a whole. And there is, you know, use of miniatures. There's weird kind of blood and like kind of gore stuff, but like not really. And there's some puppetry. I don't know how much he built, but I've heard Eli Roth was David Lynch's assistant, at one point early in his career. And he has talked about how David Lynch himself painted the sets for Eraserhead. He was living in this mansion in Beverly Hills. Oh, I should backtrack here. Eraserhead was had its world premiere 45 years ago to the day yesterday. So that's why I watched it, and that's why I'm talking about it, just to preface it a little bit. So this is fascinating to me. Even just the story behind Eraserhead is fascinating. David Lynch was a visual artist. He was a painter primarily, but he had made some short films apparently. And David Lynch is a little crazy, like even I'll say that. But apparently, one night he was painting in his studio in Philadelphia. He was in art school at the time, and he had a vision. And the painting that he was painting some leaves, I believe, and they started moving. And he realized that a movie could be a moving painting. Perhaps to him, a movie was a moving painting. If you go back and listen to my David Lynch episode, you can hear I quoted him directly talking about this, telling this story. I believe it should be in that episode. He believed that a movie could be a moving painting, and essentially that's what film was as a medium. It was a moving painting, or that's what it was to him, or that's what it could be. So he started making short films. They started getting some attention, and eventually this led to Eraserhead. I don't know the whole story, but somehow he ends up in Los Angeles, living in some kind of farmhouse or something. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this was a mansion in Beverly Hills, and he was constructing sets, he was painting sets, and he was shooting at this mansion in the basement, living in the stall with the horses or something, living in the fucking what did I say, farmhouse? I don't something like that. I don't know the whole story. And again, you would have to go back and listen to that episode to get the whole story, but I just even think that the making of this movie and the construction of this movie is fascinating. And the whole David Lynch story is fascinating. I mean, he is a true renegade artist, and he truly proved himself in the filmmaking space, but he's an artist. And he still does that. He primarily does that now, is like art, painting and art stuff. I don't, what do you call it when you like multimedia art? No, it's like when you combine like actual raw material. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, if I'd gone to SVA, maybe I would know what it was called. But yeah, so that's David Lynch, that's Eraserhead. What else do I have to say about Eraserhead? I want to see if I can find just something with Eli Roth talking about it. And if not, then I'll just sign off. I like these long rambling episodes. I hope you don't mind them. When I tape myself in the morning, I can really go on and on. I can really ramble. I want the episodes to be longer in general, so I'm happy for any long episode. Here we go. I don't know if this is real. Live journal? Jesus Christ. There's no way that can still exist. Live journal. It's like Facebook. All right. I mean, not Facebook. Eraserhead. I mean, not Eraserhead. What is it called? MySpace. Apparently, Kid Cudi got his start on MySpace. I found that out yesterday. There's an article. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, this might be what I'm looking for. Sort of. I don't think he's talking about painting the sets. Oh, it's not, it doesn't exist there anymore. If you get, I have a question. Since I know next to nothing about the internet, when it really comes down to it, when you get the 404, does that just mean the page doesn't exist anymore? That's my question. Page not found, 404. All right, well, whatever. This is from LiveJournal. Oh my God, 2007, no wonder. Okay, this is from 2007 from LiveJournal. Quote, kind of amazing that it's still up here. Quote, there's an article at the AV Club section of The Onion in which director Eli Roth, Cabin Fever, the Hostel films, the hilarious Thanksgiving faux trailer in Grindhouse, right on, lists movies for a 24-hour horror marathon, though he admits that not all of his suggestions are, strictly speaking, horror. Halfway through, he nominates Eraserhead as, quote, a great midnight movie. The midnight movie. You can see it's a brilliant, beautiful, wonderful, surreal film. It's 9 a.m. Thank you for listening. Happy Sunday. Happy spring. I hope you enjoy your spring as much as I will. This is my comeback spring. This is my comeback season. I think it's okay to be a late bloomer. Peace. Actually, wait, not peace yet. I want to get to a half hour. Okay, fuck it, I'll just say it. I was talking to my mom and, just talk is this getting too personal? Just talking about me and where my life is and We were just talking about the fact that it's okay to be a late bloomer. And maybe that's what got me thinking about SVA a little bit, because I would have bloomed more there, I think, than I even thought I would have, or something. I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I should do it on my own, and I still, well, now it's just I know I can do it on my own. And part of that is because I have to do it on my own at this point. And that's my, partly my own fault. That's by my own design. But, I just think it's interesting. So, oh, okay, that reminds me of the other thing I wanted to talk about. So, yeah, it was very foggy this morning here on Cape Cod, and I got some nice shots of the fog, the mist, if you will, or at least one nice shot of it. And I would have gone for a walk and gotten some more shots of the fog, but I tend not to leave the house if I don't have to. I'm surrounded by assholes, which I'm used to, but I don't like walking around here. I don't like being around people. I think that's what it comes down to. So my name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Yeah, the other reason I'm feeling good today, fuck it, I'll just say it. I sent some money to my girlfriend, and she's good until the first, and so I don't have to send any more money to her. Hopefully, she's paying me back some of this money that I've sent to her. I've sent her a lot of money over the past month and a half. So anyway, that's personal stuff. I don't have to get into that. But I applied for unemployment this morning, so I took care of that. I'm just taking care of business here, and I'm enjoying this weekend. I'm not pushing myself too hard. I'm luxuriating in X. I'm marinating in the experience. I still haven't been able to find many interviews with Ty West. I haven't checked in on the shooting format, what it was shot on, or the soundtrack for updates. But I'm just letting the movie, almost kind of like in an old school way, just letting it live in my mind. And live in my body, live in my experience, and allowing myself to live in that experience of what it was like to see it for the first time. Wow, I'm actually tearing up a little bit. It was amazing. I don't have experiences like that in a theater much anymore, if ever. So thank you, X. Thank you, Ty West. And thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. Peace.